CD 5.
Kill them, she said.
I kill in my own time, he said. In any case, killing unconscious people isn't right. I can't think of a more opportune time, said the Lawmaster.
Liesa snorted. Then I shall banish them, she said. Once they are beyond the reach of the Wurmberg's magic, then they'll have no power. They'll be simply brigands. Will that satisfy you?
Yes.
I am surprised that you are so merciful, Harun.
Harun shrugged. A man in my position, he can't afford to be anything else. He's got to consider his image.
He looked around.
Where's the next test, then?
I warn you that it is perilous. If you wish, you may leave now. If you pass the test, however, you will become Lord of the Wurmberg, and, of course, my lawful husband.
Harun met her gaze. He thought about his life to date. It suddenly seemed to him to have been full of long, damp nights, sleeping under the stars, desperate fights with trolls, city guards, countless bandits, and evil priests, and, on at least three occasions, actual demigods. And for what? Well, for quite a lot of treasure, he had to admit. But where had it all gone? Rescuing beleaguered maidens had a certain passing reward, but most of the time he'd finished up by setting them up in some city somewhere with a handsome dowry, because after a while even the most agreeable ex-maiden became possessive, and had scant sympathy for his efforts to rescue her sister sufferers. In short, life had really left him with little more than a reputation and a network of scars. Being a lord might be fun. Harun grinned. With a base like this, all these dragons, and a good bunch of fighting men, a man could really be a contender. Besides, the wench was not uncomely.
The third test, she said.
Am I to be weaponless again? Said Harun.
Liesa reached up and removed her helmet, letting the coils of red hair tumble out. Then she unfastened the brooch of her robe. Underneath, she was naked.
As Harun's gaze swept over her, his mind began to operate two notional counting machines.
One assessed the gold in her bangles, the tiger rubies that ornamented her toe rings, the diamond spangle that adorned her navel, and two highly individual whirligigs of silver filigree. The other was plugged straight into his libido. Both produced tallies that pleased him mightily. As she raised a hand and proffered a glass of wine, she smiled and said,
I think not.
He didn't attempt to rescue you, Rincewind pointed out as a last resort.
He clung desperately to Two Flowers' waist as the dragon circled slowly, tilting the world at a dangerous angle. The new knowledge that the scaly back he was astride only existed as a sort of three-dimensional daydream did not, he had soon realized, do anything at all for his ankle-wrenching sensations of vertigo. His mind kept straying towards the possible results of Two Flower losing his concentration.
Not even Harun could have prevailed against those crossbows, said Two Flower stoutly.
As the dragon rose higher above the patch of woodland where the three of them had slept a damp and uneasy sleep, the sun rose over the edge of the disk. Instantly the gloomy blues and greys of pre-dawn were transformed into a bright bronze river that flowed across the world, flaring into gold where it struck ice or water or a light dam. Owing to the density of the magical field surrounding the disk, light itself moved at subsonic speeds. This interesting property was well utilized by the Sorka people of the Great Neff, for example, who over the centuries had constructed intricate and delicate dams and valleys walled with polished silica to catch the slow sunlight and sort of store it. The scintillating reservoirs of the Neff, overflowing after several weeks of uninterrupted sunlight, were truly a magnificent sight from the air, and it is therefore unfortunate that Two Flower and Rincewind did not happen to glance in that direction. In front of them, the billion-ton impossibility that was the magic-wrought Wurmberg hung against the sky, and that was not too bad, until Rincewind turned his head and saw the mountain's shadow slowly unroll itself across the cloudscape of the world.
"What can you see?" said Two Flower to the dragon.
"I see fighting on top of the mountain," came the gentle reply.
"See," said Two Flower, "Harun's probably fighting for his life at this very moment."
Rincewind was silent. After a moment, Two Flower looked round. The wizard was staring intently at nothing at all, his lips moving soundlessly.
"Rincewind?"
The wizard made a small croaking noise.